things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah! That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
Hi.
Oh, hello.
Hi, how's it going?
So good. I'm here with you recording an episode of A Little Bit Grim.
It's a podcast.
It's the podcast you're listening to right now.
Right here, right now, in this day, in this time.
You found us. Stick around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen.
Listen. You
know, do whatever. Enjoy your
audio
to the person driving down the road on their way to work. I hope you have a really great day.
Yeah. Or if you're going home from work, hope your day was great. Uh-huh. If it wasn't, go home, decompress.
If you're standing in the kitchen doing your dishes, I hope that nothing is greasy and nothing sticks.
100%.
And you're having the best day of your life.
Yeah. How's your week? How's everything going?
Everything is going good. We love a smooth sea.
Oh, gosh. Yep, we sure do.
You got to stop cringing.
We
just have to know and believe, like, things are, it's fine.
Uh-huh.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
And it's going to remain fine and good.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. Take a drink of water. Yeah. So everything's, what's happening in Taylor Land over there?
Oh, gosh. I'm probably traveling.
Yeah.
I go to Detroit tomorrow and I'll be there all week. So I leave, today's the 13th, so tomorrow's Valentine's Day. So I will leave the 14th, and then I'll come home the evening of the 18th, and then I'm here for the weekend, and then I go back to Cleveland for 2 days the week after that.
You're just woman of the world, man.
I know.
You're getting ready to go on a cruise?
I'm going on a cruise. I will be home for 1 week in March.
Love it.
1 week. Yeah, so the cruise is happening. I'm really excited about that.
This is a cruise 2 years in the making.
Yes, it surely is. So yeah, it's gonna be great, and I am just excited for all the things that are coming up. It's gonna be a very busy couple of months, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, we have some schemes perhaps
up our
sleeve, so keep
Stay tuned. Stay
Keep
tuned.
Keep on listening. Oh, it's episode 100.
Welcome to episode 100. Oh my God, we're such idiots.
We can't count or do
anything
efficiently.
No,
or well.
Not at all. Can you believe it?
No.
100 episodes, Jenny.
I can't. We're coming to listen to 2 years, like right around the corner.
Right around the corner. April 4th.
14th.
No.
Oh.
April 4th.
Wow. 4-4. Okay.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I know. I can't believe we've done this for almost two years and that we have recorded technically over 100 episodes, because the only episodes that are numbered are our cycle episodes.
And not like grab bags.
Or the mashups that we did.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So we're like really at like episode 118, 120.
God, we're bad at this.
I know.
You would think that we would be better at this by now. But
right. No. But this is the episode 100 of our cycle
regular cycle
episodes. I cannot believe that.
I can't believe it either. It feels like simultaneously forever in like a week.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Crazy. I have this like little passion. And now we have like people who want to like that we like friends that we've made and
yeah.
like contact. It's just so, it's so fucking cool. This is not where I thought we would be.
No, me either. It's very cool. So happy to be doing this with you, babe.
Big blessed. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. What a blessing.
Oh, bless it.
What a
Woo!
Blessing.
Lord almighty. So
it's a conspiracy day.
Conspiracy. We thought it was going to be
a folklore,
but
that's
nay.
Okay.
And if you missed it, go back and listen to it, because it was a good old episode.
It was a good one.
And who's?
You're going first.
Me. Okay.
Tell me your things.
I'm going to tell you all about it. But let me say this. This was, okay, originally supposed to be a grab bag.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I was like toot-totting on the internet and I was like, weird news. Blah, 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 blah. And somehow I ended up on HuffPost.
Okay.
And was going through their like weird
top 10 weird sci-fi things that happen, whatever.
Yeah, that kind of shit. And I found this article and I was reading it and I was like, I don't know if this is like something, it's like definitely fits within the aesthetic of what we cover.
Okay.
But it very quickly became too much
for a grab bag.
And then I was like, ain't no way.
Okay.
That this is some real news. So this conspiracy episode is an article that I fact checked.
Ooh, okay.
So, and it like fits in because I know like conspiracies and they're a little here or there, especially with how the state of things are right now.
The weather conditions.
The weather conditions of the people. They can be, you know, harmful.
Yeah.
So fact checking is important.
Yes, it is. Please always fact check your things.
And then my fact checking found far wilder things.
Oh my God.
So this is mostly me falling down a rabbit hole and I'm just here to take you down my path of mental instability.
Like, came back up out of the rabbit hole and went, come with me.
Come down.
You gotta I've seen things to show you.
You gotta see the view from down here. It's so
cool. We got twists and turns.
Yeah. Oh my God. So I'm gonna start by reading you the article.
Okay.
Okay. And it is former manager of the Department of Defense Aerospace Threat Program, quote, UFOs are real.
All right.
By Huffington Post contributor and investigative journalist Leslie Keen. And this article was published October 11th, 2017.
Okay.
Okay. So keeping the, when it was written, she had just gone to a expose, if you will, like a meeting of a lot of the characters that I will introduce in this article. All so right. It's going to refer to today in her words because I really didn't edit the article. So something extraordinary was revealed. Former high-level officials and scientists with a deep black experience who have always remained in the shadows came forward on one platform. These insiders have long-standing connections to government agencies, which may have programs investigating unidentified aerial phenomena, otherwise known as UAPs. We know them as UFOs.
Sure.
The team includes a 25-year veteran of the CIA's Directorate of Operations, a Lockheed Martin Program Director for Advanced Systems, and a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence. Today marked the official launch of To the Stars Academy of Arts and Science as an innovative public benefit corporation which will advance research into unexplained phenomena and develop related technology. It has established three synergistic divisions: science, aerospace, and entertainment. Quote, we believe there are discoveries within our reach that will revolutionize the human experience, as company president and CEO Tom DeLonge. There was a previous story released yesterday for a background on this announcement about UFOs are real.
Okay.
Okay. According to the Stars Academy statement, its team members, who have been operating under the shadows of top secrecy for decades, believe that there is sufficient credible evidence of UAPs that proves exotic technologies exist that could revolutionize the human experience. This could represent the beginning of a trend towards a new openness on the part of the U.S. government. These people know more than any of us, and they will be releasing important data on the UAP in the future. As an investigative reporter with a long-standing interest in this subject, who has worked with a few Academy team members in the past, I was shown some of this data at a meeting with them on October 4th, 2017.
Okay.
Present for the four-hour-long meeting was Luis Elizondo, who ran an important program at the Department of Defense. Elizondo is a senior career intelligence officer whose experience includes working with the U.S. Army, Department of Defense, the National Counterintelligence Executive, and as the Director of National Intelligence. He served as the director for the National Program Special Management Staff in the Office of the Secretary of Defense. He is also the former director of programs to investigate unidentified aerial threats for the Office of the Secretary of Defense. Quite a rap list.
Wow.
He goes by Lou.
Okay.
His nickname. So great. Lou will architect partnerships with some very sensitive places to help protect us and the technology involved so we may achieve for you the extraordinary, said DeLonge. Lou has resigned from his position at the DOD literally the day before this article was published, and was able to verify who he was and what his tasks were at the Pentagon. He received the highest commendations from his superiors, And the reporter was told that important unclassified data and documentation are expected to be released through the Academy's online community of interest in collaboration with the U.S. government, which will be set up soon.
Interesting.
I asked him if these unidentified objects were considered to be threats. He said they did not exhibit overt hostility, but something unexplained is always assumed to be a potential threat until we are certain it isn't. On the bright side, I believe we are closer than ever before in our understanding of how it operates. At the event today, Elizondo explained his work this way. I am accustomed to being involved in close-hold, nuanced programs involving national security. This includes being a counterintelligence special agent, case officer, and intelligence practitioner. However, by far the most interesting effort I was involved with was the topic of advanced aerial threats. He went on to say that he ran a sensitive aerospace threat identification program focusing on unidentified aerial technologies. His job at the To the Stars Academy will be to work as a liaison and interloper in the collection of this information for the science division, allowing us to collect facts for analysis. How will this be done? One way is through the COI, which will provide a platform for the detection and triangulation of phenomena events in real time and allows two-way communication between the public and our team regarding this information.
What?
Right. As a result, his position managing the Department of Defense program for almost a decade, Lou said, I learned that the phenomena is indeed real.
Okay.
Hmm.
Huh.
In short, less than 2 weeks after leaving the Pentagon, Lou confirmed that UFOs are real. They exist. They have been officially documented. Can anyone argue with this fact now, given where this man comes from and what he knows? It's very important to understand that Lou does not speak for the Department of Defense.
Sure.
Since he is no longer employed there, and he speaks independently as part of the To the Stars Academy. Lou also stated, we're also planning to provide never-before-released footage from real U.S. government systems. Not blurry amateur photos. Real data and real videos. And even more significant, we are inviting our government colleagues and friends in defense to participate regularly with their own findings.
Oh.
Another member of the team, Stephen Justice, an experienced aerospace engineer, explained that he will use scientific discoveries about the travel of UAP through space, demonstrating almost unimaginable technology, to develop technology that can change the world. Steve recently retired as program director for advanced systems at Lockheed Martin. Do you know what that is?
Mm-mm.
They used to be, so the old GE building downtown off Taylor,
yeah,
was bought out by Lockheed Martin. That's the company my mom retired from.
Oh,
she worked
really?
There for many, many years.
Okay.
But he retired as the director of advanced systems after a 31-year career and said, how dare we think that the physics we have today is all that there is?
I mean, I agree.
Ooh. Opportunity here, as he sees it, is to stand in the future and look back. Steve's objective is to harvest advanced technology to build a vehicle that will allow for almost instantaneous travel through land, air, oceans, and space by engineering the fabric of space-time.
Okay.
Such a vehicle could also float like something from science fiction. Steve says we have glimpses of the science that could make this possible. It is not outside the realm of possibility if the necessary resources are in place. Another Academy member, Chris Mellon, served as Deputy Assistant Secretary for the Defense of Intelligence for two administrations and early in his career drafted legislation that established the U.S. Special Op Command at the time when terrorism was not yet on the radar.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sus.
What a weird time.
What a weird time for us to be afraid if there's no terrorists.
Yeah.
Yeah. He presented an overview of a 2004 incident involving the aircraft carrier, the USS Nimitz, which was detected on two separate radars, two F-18s approach, and four aviators see that the object has no wings or exhaust. It is white, oblong, some 40 feet long, and perhaps 12 foot thick.
Hmm. Interesting.
Interesting. One pilot pursues the craft while his wingman stays high. The pilots are astonished to see the object suddenly reorient itself, approaching the F-18 in a series of discrete tumbling maneuvers that defy the laws of physics as we know it.
What?
The object takes a position directly behind the approaching F-18, and the lengthy event occurred in broad daylight off of the California coast and gun camera footage was taken. At one point, the object went from hovering at 80,000 feet to dropping at supersonic speeds and came to a complete stop at 50 feet above the ocean.
What?
More F-18s are dispatched with similar results. The secret machine easily evades the F-18s. Dozens of military personnel aboard the various planes and ships involved are privy to these interactions. Tom DeLonge's final message sums up the position of all involved. No person, no one government, or no one hidden institution should own all of this information and technology.
Wow.
So that is the article.
Okay.
Obviously wild, right?
Just a ride.
So I was halfway through this, and I'm like, this has to be science fiction.
Yeah.
This is satire.
You're like, this is a mockumentary.
This is a mockumentary of an article. I'm like, there is no fucking way.
Okay.
And then I was like, I know HuffPost, like, is not always the most credible. Sure. I don't know this journalist.
Yeah.
The claims are too wild
sure.
for me to go on.
Yeah.
So, what did I do? I did a deep dive.
Yeah.
Into everything. So let's address, in order of appearance,
These claims. Yay. I love a fact check.
First, I was like, okay, this To the Stars Academy. Mm-hmm. What the hell
is that?
So I was not expecting to find anything here. I thought it was made up. No way it's real. But here's the info from their website.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Mm-hmm. The To the Stars Academy intends to release game-changing information of the type interested people have been seeking for a long time. Lou says, the fact is, we might not necessarily be alone, and now is the time to move forward and try to answer some of life's deepest mysteries. Okay, this got my attention because what the hell is that on their website to, like, print something, which, like, some people say is, like, fucking wild, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, on their website, they also state that they, one, collect and study anomalous data.
Okay.
Develop technology related to the findings.
Sure.
And then explain to humanity through story. And they have their board of directors listed. And they are Tom DeLonge, co-founder, chairman of the board, interim CEO. He was the founder of Blink 182 and Angels and Airwaves.
Shut up.
Swear.
Okay.
He's written 12 books, ranging from children's stories to full-blown novels. He had won some awards for some animations that he did by Poet Anderson, The Dreamwalker. So he's, like, entertainment connection to the people, Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering when you said, like, you listed the things and it said entertainment, and I was like, what the fuck?
Right, that's what I'm saying. It sounds fucking made up. So, he's the co-founder. The other co-founder is Jim Sevevan, co-founder, board member, VP of operations. He has 25 years as an operations officer at the CIA's Directorate of Operations and intelligence community consultant for training and leadership, CIA tradecraft, and countering weapons of mass destruction.
What?
Yeah. Co-founders.
So you've got Blink 182.
And this fucking dude.
CIA operative.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
And then J. Christopher Miser. He's a board member. He's a private equity expert, co-founder of Vivarious Capital, with a 30-year career in acquisitions, financing, managing top-performing companies. Serves as chairman to each of the portfolio's companies and guides key strategic decisions in their execution. He taught business strategy, finance, entrepreneurship, and graduate and undergraduate levels. And if you're wondering what Vivarious is, I also Googled that. It's an investment group. On their website, they describe themselves as dedicated to building a community of like-minded investors that are interested in a wide variety of high-quality proprietary transactions, opportunistic, fundamental, process-oriented deal analysis, part art, part analysis.
Okay.
So so we have the entertainment.
Yeah.
We have the government.
Yeah.
And we have the financial institution.
Right.
Here as owning this academy. They also have an advisory board.
Oh, interesting.
And this is where it gets interesting. Okay, so
this is where it gets interesting.
This is where it gets interesting. They have C. Chris Herndon, who is the director of White House Information and Technology, a former deputy assistant to the president with a 20-year government career in telecommunications as a Department of Navy dude.
Fascinating.
Dr. Hal Puthoff, PhD, Department of Defense research and physicist, 50 years experience as a research scientist at General Electric, National Security Agency, Stanford University, Sperry, SRI International, advisor to NASA, Department of Defense, and intelligence community on leading edge technologies and future technology trends. He holds patents in lasers, communications, and energy fields.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Dr. Paul Rapp, who is a brain function and consciousness consultant.
Okay.
Okay. He's a professor of military and emergency medicine at Uniformed Services University.
Uniformed Services. Okay.
Yeah. He's the director of traumatic injury research program. Honors include a CIA certificate of commendation for significant contributions to the mission of the Office of Research and Development and a PhD from Cambridge University.
Okay.
Okay.
So many words.
So, like, what is a consciousness consultant? So he...
Right. It sounds very, like, the mixture of cult mumbo-jumbo.
And
science.
Credentials.
Yeah. Brain is not comprehending.
What is going on? Do. No, me either. Me either. So I also signed up for their free newsletter that we will start getting in the inbox. So
I can't wait.
So if they start sending out notifications from like our new alien overlords, we will be sure to report back.
Yeah, to
and
you.
Let you know.
That would be a good grab bag, is just like reading the newsletter.
Oh my god, we should do that. We'll do that. Okay. Now the second key player, Luis Elizondo, right?
Yeah.
Because at this point I was like thinking this was like still satirical.
Yeah.
I just Googled Luis Elizondo, and boy, did his website just pop right up.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't expecting to be able to find a whole lot about him. Certainly a man out here spilling government secrets about his very high level security clearance military job wouldn't be allowed to go run around spreading awareness about UFOs he saw in his career. I would think he would be in hiding with like Snowden and other whistleblowers. But no, not at all. He's just out here. And on his website, the main section, the main about me, is my mission is to challenge the status quo of the past 75 years of UFO UAP secrecy and champion its disclosure in a meaningful way that ultimately leads to a better, more comprehensive understanding of this great enigma. My approach is a deliberate and calculated effort to challenge current mindsets and policies in order to enable collaboration across all entities.
What?
So...
Okay, all right, bro.
It feels... I mean, and he does say that he champions for disclosure.
Yeah.
That he seems to be very much in the trying to put forth legislation that would mandate federal governments to disclose to its people the information that it has regarding alien civilization and UFOs.
Do it.
Do it. He has been a speaker on the following topics. Government disclosure, UAP phenomenon. He's given in-depth interviews about global action, national security challenges. He has speaking engagements on television, cable, on-demand, conferences, forums, through the press. He consults on corporate and personnel security, threat and vulnerability assessments, regional and cultural topography, counter-surveillance, counter-elicitation, people, institutions, academia, and scientific communities.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Sus.
Okay.
Are you sus by this? Is this just me?
No.
I'm like, who the fuck is this dude?
Right. What are you... Oh, my God.
And why did the government let you go? Right?
Without murdering you.
Yes. And allowing you to speak on this.
Part of that makes me think that he's just a fraud.
That makes me think, too. So...
Okay.
On... Oh, shit, did I... Oh, I didn't put it in here, but on his website, and if you go look at the Instagram, I have it. I have a letter from a senator a current sitting U.S. senator, verifying his credentials, his experience, his existence, that he is who he says he is, and he has access to all of these documents. I have the letter. It is on the Instagram.
What?
So he's legit.
Why are they just out here letting him talk?
I don't know.
I can't understand.
I can't understand either.
Okay.
And then the last, Stephen Justice.
Yeah.
Okay. Another character I assume was made up. Just yeah. Like this guy, you know, whatever.
Especially with the name Justice.
Yeah, Stephen Justice. But yeah. No more than a 3-minute search on Google revealed his LinkedIn profile. He's a real dude. So here's what it says. Stephen Justice III, he currently lives in Mojave, California. And his About Me section currently reads, I was 12 years old the first time I boarded an airplane. I could still recall the excitement of seeing the brilliant blue sky, the tops of clouds, and beauty of our world below. It's an experience early pilots struggle to explain, and it changes you. I earned my pilot license while I was in high school and made flight my life's work. I'm honored to be part of a company that allows us to now view our world from the dramatic perspective of space. And I cannot wait to see the unimagined opportunities that await us on this journey. He is currently, his current position on his own LinkedIn profile is Virgin Galactic.
What?
Virgin Galactic. He's the senior vice president, and he's been there for 1 year and 1 month. And his job before this was the vice president of engineering at Lockheed Martin, as it said in the article. He has also been a consultant, engineering, design, all through his whole life. But I didn't know what Virgin Galactic was.
So we Googled it.
So I went to their LinkedIn.
Okay.
Because it's LinkedIn. It's you just click it. So I just, here I am, falling down the fucking rabbit hole.
Yeah.
This is their About Me section. We are part of Sir Richard Branson's Virgin Group. So like Virgin Mobile, Virgin.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
And with our sister companies, the Spaceship Company and Virgin Orbit. We are developing and operating a new generation of space vehicles to open space flight for everyone. We are comprised of hundreds of dedicated and passionate professionals united in creating the world's first commercial space line. Our mission, to be the space line for Earth, means we focus on using space for good while delivering an unparalleled customer experience. Through our work, we believe we can help inspire future generations and make it possible to see our beautiful home planet from a new perspective. We are proud to be part of the incredible spaceflight story. It's 1,000 years in the making and driven by the deeply human need to explore our universe, to innovate, and to create a better future for our society and our planet. Our world-class team, comprising of engineers, technicians, mission controllers, and many more wonderful professionals, continues to push the boundaries of technology and exploration. Our dedication to finding the best people for Virgin Galactic has resulted in our unique and inspiring sense of purpose and a strong culture of safety and achievement. So, a subsidiary of Virgin Mobile.
Uh-huh. And like Virgin Airlines.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, is now Virgin Space Lines. And they have recruited this pilot, government, Department of Defense, whatever, to create the first space line. So. Last bit was the USS Nimitz, because I'd never heard of that. Have you?
No.
No. So I felt pretty safe that the USS Nimitz was like a real boat.
Okay.
And sure, maybe it saw something weird on its radar and followed it. I feel like the Navy and the Air Force see weird shit on their radar all the time. I feel like that's their job. I don't know what their job is other than to find weird shit and figure out what it is. So I was not expecting to find what I found, which was a full-blown declassified video of the entire encounter described in the article on history.com. A source that I use all the time for this podcast.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah. You know,
solid facts.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Mostly when I use them for like disasters and like that kind of stuff. So I was like, that's like a pretty legit thing. So, it is the whole story, just as I said, they saw an alien craft. It bumps around. It is not some grainy Sasquatch video. You can watch the whole thing. I screenshotted a still. It will be uploaded on the Instagram.
Yeah.
And you will not believe who, because you know it has the water line in the corner of who distributed the video. Guess who distributed the video?
Department.
To the fucking Stars Academy. Has the video and is the one who released it to the public.
What?
So. And when I posted the screenshot, she can see the To the Stars logo in the corner.
Fuck.
Yeah. So, here's what my thoughts are.
Yes, I can't wait.
There were aliens.
Yeah.
The government knows about them.
Uh-huh.
The government is trying to keep the technology from themselves. For themselves, is trying to figure out the technology. So, I'm sure the military can, like, bogart it and be whatever barbarians we are to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
There are high-level government officials who have retired who are working tirelessly to release the information to the public. And at this point, I don't think there's any changing my mind about that.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. It was like, I kept trying to find, like, nitpick it and find things that I could debunk. But it was like, every time I picked a new thing, it just like...
It was like, no facts.
No, this is real. This is a real person. This is what they really did.
Wow.
Crazy.
Good job.
Thanks.
That's wild.
So that's my conspiracy.
I can't wait to continue down that rabbit hole on my own.
Keep your eyes out.
Keep going.
For the next grab bag episode where we will read the To the Stars new letter.
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay.
Okay.
What are you going to tell me about?
So my sources are worldatlas.com article by Jason Chavilli, history.com, biography.com, and the Conspiracy Theories podcast.
Ooh.
When you think about the future, you may wonder what's to come. How will the world be different in 10 years, 50, 100, 1,000? The possibilities are endless. As far back into history as we look, people have been trying to predict the future. But there is one name that stands out among the rest when it comes to telling the future. Nostradamus.
Ah! Yes!
So when I got my laptop out and opened the Google machine and started research for this topic, it struck me how Google filled in common searches after I typed in Nostradamus. People are still wondering what he predicted for 2022, 2023, 2021. Ooh. Like, people are still trying to find his predictions
for today.
He's like
the oldest farmer's almanac ever.
Yes, he is. Truly.
Okay.
Nostradamus was born Michel de Nostradamus. Ooh. On either December 14th or 21st in 1503. The exact date is a little here and there.
A little oldie.
Yeah, 1503.
Damn.
Yeah. Sources don't agree on that exact date, but he did grow up in the south of France. Michel's father saw great intellect and tutored him from a very young age. He taught Michel Latin, Greek, Hebrew, and mathematics.
Hmm.
It is believed that his grandfather also introduced him to the ancient rites of Jewish tradition and the celestial sciences of astrology.
Ooh, okay.
So back then, astrology was a science. People put a lot of stock into zodiac signs.
Sure.
And today it's kind of like
woo-woo.
Woo-woo. But back then it was as important as math, physics, like, it was all wrapped in astrology and astronomy.
Yeah.
Were together.
Sure.
Which I think is just fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Wonder why we got away from that. The Christian church. Never mind. Answer my question. Continue on.
Continued. Okay, so this gave Nostradamus his first exposure to the idea of the heavens and how they drive human destiny.
Ooh.
We don't know a whole heck of a lot about his early childhood, but we do know that he must have been very smart because he entered the University of Avignon at age 14 to study medicine.
Holy shit.
Right. Unfortunately, due to an outbreak of the bubonic plague,
yikes,
he was forced to leave school only after a year. After that, he traveled the countryside and studied herbal remedies and worked as an apothecary.
Cute.
Yeah. In 1522, he enrolled at the University at Montpellier to complete his doctorate in medicine.
Okay.
The Catholic priests dismissed his notions of astrology.
Of course they did.
There are some sources that say he was actually expelled for his work as an apothecary, but others believe he was only reprimanded.
Hmm.
He did receive a license to practice medicine in 1525 at the age of 22.
Okay.
After he graduated, he Latinized his name from Nostradamus to Nostradamus. The next few years were devoted to combating the plague. He traveled throughout France and Italy treating victims. Nostradamus had developed a progressive method for dealing with the plague that included hygiene and removing the dead from homes quickly so that the grievers would not be exposed after their loved one had died. He also became known for creating a rose pill, which was an herbal lozenge made of rose hips that provided some relief. His cure rate was impressive, and he became somewhat of a celebrity for his ability to keep patients alive. He got married in 1531 and had two children, but in 1534, both of his children and his wife died. Mm. Historians believe that it was due to the plague.
Ugh.
So because he could not save them, he fell out of favor with the public.
Mm. Well.
Yeah. Mm. So clearly this would have been a rough heckin' time for our friend Nostradamus. So to make matters worse, in 1538, he made an offhand comment about a religious statue, and somebody reported him to the church, an inquisition.
What?
So he chose to leave in exile and traveled for several years throughout Italy, Greece, and Turkey.
Okay, just nomad.
Yeah.
Love.
One of the legends of Nostradamus says that during his travels in Italy, he came upon a group of Franciscan monks identifying one as the future pope.
Ooh.
The monk, called Felice Peretti, was ordained Pope Sixtus V in 1585, fulfilling the prediction of Nostradamus. This is the first prediction we know about.
Ooh, okay.
In 1547, he felt that he had probably spent enough time in exile and returned to France. Just like, they probably forgot about it. It's not a big deal.
Determine your own sentence.
Yeah.
Love. It's been long enough. I learned my lesson.
Right. So he settled down in Salon de Provence after visiting Italy once more. Nostradamus began to move away from medicine and toward the occult.
Mm.
He would sit for hours staring at a bowl of water with herbs floating in it, and this is where he would get some of his visions of the future.
Uh-huh.
So he started scrying.
Yeah.
In 1550, he decided to write an almanac for that year. It was very successful, and after the success of that almanac, he decided to write one for each year.
Okay.
When all lumped together, there are at least 16,300 prophecies.
Oh. That is so many.
So many.
So many prophecies.
Yeah.
Okay.
He also started doing horoscopes for the wealthy people of the area, although he asked his clients to bring their own birth charts rather than calculate himself, as a more respected astrologer would have done. In these times, astronomy was considered much more of a science. Like I mentioned, Hippocrates and Galen based medical theories on the relationship between heavenly bodies and human bodies. In an enduring cultural phenomenon, parts of the body, as well as diseases, were linked to zodiac signs and the planets.
It's like Ayurvedic medicine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they said, like, people born in Aries would have more likely to, like, have head problems, like headaches, migraines, stuff like that.
Interesting.
But each different zodiac had its own set of problems.
Great.
Yeah. Love that. When Nostradamus was forced to calculate birth charts on his own, he often made errors and failed to adjust the figures for the clients based on their time of birth or place of birth.
Hmm.
Historians look to these errors as ways to discredit Nostradamus's prophecies.
Okay.
Now, during this time, he wrote a book called The Prophecies, which were a collection of his major long-term predictions. He used rhymed four-line verses called quatrains. He wrote them in French, Greek, Italian, Latin, and another dialect of southern France.
Ooh, okay.
He was very careful in his writing to avoid talking about anything that would get him in trouble with the Catholic Church.
Sure. Gotta be mindful of that.
Yes. Most of his predictions do not have dates on them, and historians believe that this was because he wanted to maintain plausible deniability with the Church.
Yeah.
While some people believed that he was in cahoots with the devil, more people believed his prophecies were spiritually based. At this point, he became super crazy famous.
Okay.
And won the attention of Catherine de Medici, the wife of King Henry II of France.
Yeah.
She read his almanacs, and in one of them, he hinted at trouble coming toward the royal family, so she summoned him to Paris to explain.
She was like, what you mean, though?
I would like more details.
One quatrain is not going to cut it for me.
Yes. So he drew up horoscopes for her children, and soon she made him counselor and physician in ordinary to King Henry's court.
What is that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
He just lives there now.
Yeah. So while serving in this capacity, Nostradamus explained a prophecy from one of his earlier works that was assumed to refer to King Henry. So think about it like he is the, like, Rasputin to the czars.
Yeah.
Nostradamus is to...
the French court.
The French court.
Got it.
The prophecy told of a young lion who would overcome an elder one on the field of battle. The young lion would pierce the eye of the older one and he would die a cruel death. Nostradamus warned the king that he should avoid ceremonial jousting. 3 years later, when King Henry was 41, he died in a jousting match when a lance from the opponent pierced the king's visor and entered his head behind the eye deep into his brain.
Ooh.
He held on to life for 10 agonizing days before dying of an infection.
You better kill me.
Absolutely.
Kill me.
Take me out.
I'm not doing that.
No.
No.
But spooky, right?
Yeah, super spooky. Unfortunately, this is why these men ain't listen.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Nostradamus suffered from gout and arthritis, and without treatment, this condition would eventually result in heart failure.
What?
Yeah.
You can die from gout?
Yeah, like the fluid kind of like builds up around your
joints
and your heart is working too hard. And so,
oh my God.
Died of heart failure, but this is like things you don't die from anymore.
Sure.
In late June of 1566, Nostradamus drew up a will, and on the late evening on July 1st, he made his last prophecy. He told his secretary, "You will not find me alive at sunrise," which ended up being the case.
Oh my God.
Most of Nostradamus's quatrains predicted disasters such as plagues, earthquakes, wars, floods, murders, droughts, and battles. People have pored over his predictions for years and believe he predicted some of history's most memorable moments.
Like what?
Well, here's the thing. I thought I would read you some of the quatrains and you could guess.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, after our hiatus, I just am going to put in some, like, elevator music. We had an audio issue. So, this is a...
third time's the charm.
Third time is the heckin' charm.
Sitch.
We're doing our best.
This would happen.
This would happen on episode 100.
Oh, absolutely.
This is now, what, 2 weeks since we have recorded this? And I started editing this morning.
We'll turn this off.
You're very popular.
I guess so.
Popular sweet angel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we need to finish our story about Nostradamus. If you saw, well, you probably haven't seen the video. I might post like a little snippet of it to just like explain and show what happened.
Yeah.
One of us lost our mics.
Yeah.
Plugged it back in. Thought we were good to go.
Yep.
One of the mics was actually dead.
Yep.
So you can only hear one side of this conversation.
This will be the third time.
The third time.
That we've recorded this. And there was a big
reaction.
Yeah. That.
To what I'm about to tell you again.
And I will try to once again. Recreate it.
Okay. Go back to theater.
Here we
for
go.
For me.
Sorry, let me get into character.
This is so stupid. Okay, so Nostradamus, when he was buried, he told the town that he was buried in that he did not want to be moved after his burial.
Mm-hmm.
And so many years ago, I don't remember the exact date because it's been too long since I've actually looked at this story, the excavators were digging him out. They had to move his grave.
Yeah.
When they got to him, they saw that he was holding a like bronze plaque of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And written on that plaque said, "You have betrayed me." And then it's the date and time that the excavators found him.
What?
I know!
Oh, that's crazy.
Wild story.
So good.
And the worst part is that I didn't even write it in my story, but it was such a good info that I wanted to keep it.
That shit is wild, though.
Yeah.
He was like, knew y'all would pull some bunk-ish like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, back to our real story. I thought it would be really fun to read you a few of his quatrains and have you guess.
Yes.
Which ones they are.
Okay.
Luckily, we have memories of goldfish.
And
I don't remember what these are.
I don't
you
remember
don't
the answers.
Remember what they
no.
are. So we're going to reevaluate together in this moment in time.
Okay.
Okay. So the first one I have for you is from the enslaved populace, songs, chants, and demands, while princes and lords are held captive in prisons. These will be the future by headless idiots be received as divine prayers.
The transatlantic slave trade is what my brain thinks of when I think of princes and kings.
It's a good guess, but no.
Okay.
So.
Got it.
Do you have any
That's others? My entire high school and college academic career. Good guess, but no.
Picking, like, C as the option forever.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Just,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's the French Revolution, which began with the storming of the Bastille prison.
Mm.
The masses, which Nostradamus had referred to as the enslaved populace, rose to overthrow the French monarchy and establish the French Republic. During the years of upheaval that followed, many Frenchmen, Nostradamus' supposed headless idiots, were executed by being decapitated by the guillotine.
Yeah. Guillotine.
Guillotine.
The guillotines.
The guillotine.
The guillotines. They just took their heads clean off.
That should be our new mascot.
Guillotine?
The guillotine.
The guillotines.
God. All right, ready for the second one?
Mm-hmm.
From the depths of Western Europe, a young child will be born to poor people. He who, by his tongue, will seduce a great troop, his fame will increase towards the realms of the East.
That's Adolf Hitler.
Yes, it is. And you got that one on the first round, too. So Hitler was born in Austria, which could be argued as part of the depths of Western Europe. He was able to persuade his supporters, the great troop, to follow him in his campaigns of conquest and genocide, much of which occurred in Eastern Europe, the realms of the East. Nostradamus also mentioned the word hister in another one of his quatrains, which of course is similar to Hitler, although it may also refer to the ancient name of the Danube River, near to where Hitler was born.
Yeah.
All right. Ready for your next one?
Yes.
Earth-shaking fire from the center of the earth will cause tremors around the new city. Two high rocks will war for a long time, and then Arethusa will redden a new river.
Who?
Arethusa, Arethusa.
Okay. Still, my gut reaction is like Pompeii volcano disaster.
Yeah.
However, that happened way before Nostradamus.
Yeah.
So, I'm thinking. You know what I'm thinking?
What's your gut say?
I'm trying to, like, if there's been, like, any other volcanic, I think of, like, natural disaster, like fire, lava.
Yes. See, I tend to think that this one.
What was your guess? Because you know the answer.
Yeah, I was thinking volcano.
Yeah.
This one, I feel
like, right, with lava,
is a stretch to have been tied to the event that people think that this one is tied to.
Okay.
Because people think this is 9/11.
Oh, okay.
So, because of the new city, New York City, and then two high rocks will war. So, the Twin Towers.
Oh, I see.
And then redden a new river could be the Hudson River.
Mm. Okay.
I can see it.
Sure. It's a stretch. It's vague.
Yeah, it's really vague. I definitely think that this is probably more likely to be a volcano. Because, like, earth-shaking fire from the center of the earth will cause tremors.
It's like an earthquake.
That's an earthquake.
Yeah. Or like a tsunami, something. Yeah.
This is giving me very natural disaster. Vibes.
Yeah. Maybe it hasn't happened yet.
Maybe it hasn't.
Yikes.
Yeah.
But it'd been nice of him to put these in like fucking chronological order or something.
I know. Give me a date, my dude.
He's so just vague.
Yeah. He's trying to hide from the Catholic Church, though.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
as we got to do. Okay. So the last one. Is the blood of the just will commit a fault at London. Burnt through lightning of 23's the sixth, the ancient lady will fall from her high place. Several of the same sect will be killed.
I don't remember what my original guess was.
Uh-huh.
I have a new guess.
Okay.
And I still don't think it's right.
Okay.
But I think, again, this is something that hasn't happened yet, but I think it's saying that the queen...
Uh-huh.
Is gonna die.
Yeah.
old what's-his-balls is going to get tied up in that child sex scandal.
Oh, and it's gonna, Andrew, right?
Yeah, and it's going to disgrace the entire royal family.
Ooh, shit, that's a good guess.
Thank you.
Ooh, well,
I'm also going to create quatrains of predictions.
I think we should. That would be fun.
Oh my God, how fun would that be? We should do that for a grab bag.
That would be hilarious.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
We could do, like, is it us or is it Nostradamus?
Yes!
Like it.
This is a good idea.
This is a good idea.
Okay.
TM.
I'm okay. Going to have to Google how to write a quatrain.
Strokes.
Yeah. How to write a quatrain.
Yeah.
And then we'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, sure will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So people believe that 23 is the 6 is 20 times 3 plus 6, which is 66. 66. And the Great Fire of London took place in 1666.
Oh, that can be chilly. Chilly Willies. Yeah, that is weird. When did he die?
Nostradamus?
Yeah.
Like
14?
Something like that. Hold on, let me look.
I'm gonna make you scroll all the way back.
Ooh,
your nails look so nice right now.
Thank you. I got them done yesterday.
What a fun berry pink that is.
It's a little out of my comfort zone. Normally, I am a real big fan of black and white.
Yep. Yep.
Black, white, and sometimes a very pale pink.
You're like a neutral gal. This is fun for you.
Yeah. So in 1550 was the last... date that I have in here. I don't have the date that he died.
So this was like 100 years later.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Right. So now there's a lot of speculation on the validity of these prophecies. Some historians believe that these weren't even written by Nostradamus at all. Some believe that he was just a con man that made up rhymes to sell books.
Cute.
Everyone
it's
wants...
like Dr. Seuss before his time.
Dr. Seuss! In Whoville.
In Whoville, the land will rumble and the rivers will run red.
And everyone will rhyme until the end of time.
That's a good one.
Thank you. Okay. Everyone wants to know what's going to happen in the future. And if he's careful enough with his words, it's easy to assign a specific historical event to one of his quatrains.
Sure.
It is also worth noting that the prophecies are rarely tied to an event before it happens. It is normally after an event that someone will tie a prophecy to an event.
Well, yeah.
Right.
That's the point of a prophecy.
Right, but, I mean, we just were kind of looking at the future. Like, we said, you know, I think this one's going to be the Queen of England.
Yeah. We're using context clues.
Yes.
To make assumptions and deductions.
Yes.
About...
Very scientific of us.
Oh, wow.
Don't get used to it.
I'll be waiting for that doctorate degree in the mail.
Yeah. Hang it up.
Mm-hmm.
So out of curiosity, I wanted to share some prophecies that Nostradamus made about the still faraway future.
Okay.
Nostradamus predicted 3 Antichrist figures.
Love that.
He has already named 2, Napoleon and Hitler, so there is one more on the way.
Napoleon was a fucking shit show.
People forget about him.
He was awful.
I guess not forget about him, but everybody, you know, when they think of like an Antichrist figure, Hitler is the first one.
Yeah.
Napoleon was sneaky.
God awful.
Yeah.
Do you know who was... older than Napoleon, who was also shitty?
Who?
Genghis Khan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I mentioned Genghis Khan in here later.
World domination kind of thing.
Yeah.
God. Okay, so who's lucky number 3? Third time's the charm.
He also predicted that the year 3797 would be the end of the world.
Okay.
Additionally, he claimed that a king of terror would arrive similar to Genghis Khan, the king of the Mongols, in wrath and unforgiveness.
Ooh.
He further predicted that the king would appear in the 7th month of the year 1999. The article I found with this mentioned that there is no such king in that year, and I personally think that if this prediction was true, that king could have been born in July of 1999, mm-hmm. so they haven't risen into power yet. That's my personal.
Okay. Did you know that Genghis Khan caused such a travesty, monstrosity, that there's a song called O Ruber Sanguinis that was written by Hildegard von Bingen, who was one of the first female monks.
Oh.
Stayed at a convent. She was a botanist, doctor, healer, astronomer, oracle. She was the queen of all everything, and she wrote a bunch of really fantastic pieces in liturgical music and Gregorian chant, like, so way back in the day, like, 1213.
Oh, wow.
Hundreds.
Old.
But O Ruber Sanguinis was talking about Genghis Khan because he went and killed and raped something like 60 virgins.
Holy shit.
That were living at a nunnery or a convent, whatever they call it, and killed them. And it's a song describing how the streets of heaven are flowing red with the blood of all the murdered virgins by Genghis Khan.
What the fuck?
A little bit of world history for you.
Fascinating. Yeah. That's horrifying.
It is fucking terrible. Anyway.
All right. Nostradamus also predicted a zombie outbreak, saying that the dead people will rise from their graves and indulge in a game of slaughter.
Big heba. Were zombies even a thing back in his day?
So we did have vampires, like the idea of vampires.
Okay, coming back
and
from
werewolves.
The yeah.
So I don't think it's
Frankenstein.
That
oh, that was late. That was Mary Shelley. Wait, that was like 1890s.
Yeah. I don't think it's that big of a stretch for them to imagine zombies. They were already very concerned with people coming back from the dead.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, that's because they had that whole, people were coming back from the dead. Right. That's why they had
the bells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to cover zombies in a folklore.
Oh, that would be a good one. Okay. Well, we'll write it down. So Nostradamus said that the zombie attack would come in the year related to the seventh number around the millennium, and people started preparing for the year 2007 for a zombie attack. However, it never happened. Many people believe that Nostradamus pointed towards the year in the 71st century. So, 7,000 something.
But he just said the end of the world is in 3700.
Right. It's all...
Oh my god, what if it's 2070? It's very plausible that we will be alive by then. Well, maybe you more so than me.
I hope not.
I heavily drank and smoked for many years of my life.
I would love to not be in my 70s during a zombie apocalypse.
We'd be 80 years old.
Oh, gosh.
In 2070.
Pass.
Oh, my God. I would be deader than a heckin' doornail.
Same.
I would not even make it. Or I might just go out in a fucking storm of fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's the way I want to go. What yeah. I'm 80 years old in a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. Like Rambo with like two machine guns running the street. Yeah.
Heck yeah. Nostradamus also said that Earth would face extreme weather changes and there would be a harsh environmental condition. And he said, after great trouble for humanity, a greater one is prepared. The great mover renews the ages. Rain, blood, milk, famine, steel, and plague. Is the heavens fire seen, a long spark running?
It's like a meteor.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Cool. Have you seen Don't Look Up?
No, it's on my list.
It's so good.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. I'll have to watch it. It's got a couple people in it that I like.
It's got a lot of people in it.
Yeah.
It has people that I know. I know. What? I know. Meryl Streep, Jonah Hill, Leonardo DiCaprio, that old girl, what's her, Jennifer, whoever.
Lawrence?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's her face?
Yep.
And Kid Cudi.
Nice.
Yeah.
Love that.
Same.
So, was Nostradamus a seer and a prophet? Was he a con man that was good with words? We know for sure that he had an entire country wrapped around his finger in the 14th century, and that today people still search for meaning in his predictions.
Wow.
Yeah. So, thanks for sitting through the end of my story again.
Yeah, happy to be here. It was real. I felt like a lot more engaged the third time around.
Great.
Yeah.
You're like, you've already heard it. So it's like
jogging back thoughts instead of me just sitting here drooling into my lap. Like
that's what it
to
usually is when we're like listening to each other. Like I get to hear it again when I edit.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, oh shit, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Where like sometimes I'm like, yeah, okay. Uh-huh. Cause you're just processing so much information.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe a second time around isn't the worst idea. Thing.
No, not at all. Which I love because I don't, and don't be mad at me. I don't listen to the episodes.
Most podcasters don't, I don't think, unless they're the ones doing the editing.
In which case you have to, but I could never, that's all you. So I don't ever, I sit here and I listen to the stories and I hang out with you and then they're bloop out of my mind.
Bloop, gone.
Like if somebody's like, oh, do you remember when you covered like this person? And I'm like, I don't know who that is.
See, I remember the topics fairly well. It is getting to the point where I'm like, ooh, have we covered that?
Yeah.
Gonna have to look.
I skipped out on my next cult episode because I was like, I think Taylor actually already did this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but now we have 100 episodes and I can't just scroll back and look.
Right. Yeah, good thing we have an Excel spreadsheet.
Where is that?
It's in our Google Drive.
Amazing. I'll be sure to look for that.
It's got the title, and it's got my story and your story.
How long have you been doing this?
The length of the episode since probably episode 20, I think I started the spreadsheet.
I'm just fucking amazed by you every day of my life.
If I don't have a spreadsheet, I can't exist.
Fair.
So, okay. That explains it.
That explains it.
I really got curious about how many hours we had recorded. So I started putting in the time of the episode.
How long have we spent recording?
So I haven't updated the spreadsheet in like the last four episodes, mm-hmm. but at last count, we had like 80 hours of recording.
That is nutso.
Yeah.
That doesn't include grab bags, though, does
no,
it?
No, it does.
Oh, it does?
Yeah,
okay.
Grab bags and the mashups when we were doing those.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's like a total number of hours recorded.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's like more than some people get in PTO.
Right?
That's nuts.
It is nuts. So what's your bright and shiny today?
My bright and shiny is that I just got back from spending a weekend with my bestie Will.
Oh, William!
Bowling Green. Oh,
fun!
I know. He is getting his master's in violin performance, and I'm just, like, so fucking proud of him.
Oh, sweet bean.
And it was so nice to go, like, sit and hole up and just chill.
Yeah.
And it was a great time. It was a great time. I love him more than life.
Oh, babe.
So that is my bright and shiny.
That's so exciting.
Yum. What's yours?
My bright and shiny is that yesterday I went to Starbucks mm-hmm. and they had a renovation happening inside. So they were closing early. So
oh.
I was one of the last customers that got served mm-hmm. that day. And it was cute because everybody's just kind of running around. Like, it was very chaotic in there.
Yeah.
But I normally get a venti iced vanilla latte. And they upgraded me to a Torrento.
Holy shit. Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know if somebody just grabbed the wrong cup or
okay.
what happened, but I...
That's a big-ass coffee.
Yeah, so I did not sleep.
Fair.
Because I also had... I think I probably had 70 ounces of coffee yesterday because I had two giant cups at home before I, like, went out and got my nails done and just kind of had, like, a little me time yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then when they handed me the Trenta, I was, like, so grateful. How am I going to sleep? Because that was also, like, noon.
Oh no, that's so late in the day to be having coffee.
Yeah, normally
I say as I drink my coffee right here at noon.
Yeah, normally I have to be wrapping up my coffee by like 1 or 2.
Okay.
And that's normally like a third cup of coffee, not a whole gallon that somebody has poured into.
That is
30
nuts,
ounces.
So.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I had two coffees that one time you and I went to that garden show and I almost shit my pants. I
can't handle it.
Is that too much?
No.
For the podcast?
I love it.
My body cannot anymore. Now, because I've been low on the Adderall, I've been like getting back on the coffee train, just
yeah.
like a smidgeroon. But if it's past 10,
uh-huh.
I really can't do it or else I won't sleep. Like, I won't sleep tonight.
Here we go.
And part of me, like, I stood up to the counter and I, like, my regular order is like, can I have a venti Americano? And I was like, ooh, I can't.
I can't do
I
that
can't.
Today.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my bright and shiny.
I love it.
Go follow us on the social meds.
Social meds, Twitter's back. Get there on the TikTok because there's going to be some content coming your way soon. Just keep an eye out. Just, you know.
Yeah, we super, super appreciate any reviews that you would like to leave us. Those help us more than you know. You can also leave a star rating for us on Spotify now.
Ooh, which is so helpful if you guys would be willing to
right.
do that. That would be super awesome.
You don't even have to write a review. You just have to, it doesn't even give you the option. You just
no,
hit stars.
No obligation. Just click a button.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
We would love you literally forever.
As if we don't already.
Right.
But we would be indebted unto you.
Yes.
So.
So do those things. Be kind to yourself
and to others.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.